Don't you just hate it when clients fail to pay you for your services rendered? And what can you do about it? If you've already done the work, it's really no different than if someone waltzed into your convenience store, loaded up on Slim Jims, Big Gulps, and Sour Patch Kids, and walked right out the door.
Do you ever take matters into your own hands when this has happened to you in the past, Dominique?
I'm just no longer taking any accounts receivable. It's all about to be paid up front. How about you?
I am also always pay up front. I have been stiff. Luckily, in my own career, it's been very rare. It's never been enough to take someone to collections or to court. I just learned from the experience, moved on, and now get paid in advance for everything.
Much better option. And today's show is not about clients failing to pay, but it is about one tax preparer's attempt to collect what was due. And it happens in Las Vegas, a city of fortune, where luck often changes in a split second. For many, it's a city of dreams, but for the unsuspecting clients of Universal Tax Services, or UTS, it became a city of nightmares. Picture this, a chilly winter evening in February 2016, the glimmering neon lights of Las Vegas caressing the streets. In the midst of this tranquility, chaos erupted when a 22-year-old named King Isaac Umorin decided to play pretend. With audacious flair, he transformed himself into a Federal Bureau of Investigation officer, fooling everyone in his path. He was dressed in a deceptive ensemble of authority and armed with a black Hummer adorned with flashing blue and red lights. Umorin paraded around Giles Street. Innocent bystanders soon found themselves captivated by the unfolding spectacle. One victim, referred to as Victim A, and their young nephew, fell victim to Umorin's outrageous antics. With a captivating flashlight glare and a fabricated search, Umorin shook their world to its core. The fear that surged through Victim A's young nephew was palpable, prompting an immediate call to the police once Umorin disappeared. Fueled by his audacity, Umorin's charade continued. He set his sights on Victims B and C, two unsuspecting neighbors who had unknowingly crossed paths with him before. It seems that trusting Umorin with their tax affairs turned out to be a grave mistake. His greed drove him to claim a portion of their tax refund. But Umorin's intrusion did not stop there. Like a hurricane of terror, he pressed on, interrogating more neighbors, victims D, E, F, and G. Armed with his counterfeit FBI badge and firearm, he induced an atmosphere of intimidation and dread that reverberated throughout the neighborhood. As the night took its sinister course, Umorin's actions pushed the victims to their breaking point. It wasn't until Victim B, threatened with arrest by Umorin, decided to take matters into their own hands. By cross-verifying the alleged arrest warrant with the FBI, they uncovered the truth and initiated the downfall of the imposter. But this tax probe, posing as an FBI agent, didn't stop there. Almost immediately upon release from jail, Umorin began his scheme to fraudulently sell his tax company. While held on bond, Umorin found a victim just a few short months later who paid him millions. But just what the buyer uncovered will make your toes curl in today's episode of Tax Crime Junkies. Desperate deals, the rise and fall of a king and his tax castle. Welcome back, everyone, to Tax Crime Junkies. I'm your host, Dominique. I'm a CPA, certified tax strategist. I have an interest in true crimes. I have a degree in law and lead the American Institute of Certified Tax Planners. And with me today is my oh-so-lovable co-host, Tom Gorzinski.
Hey, Dom. I'm Tom Gorzinski. I'm an enrolled agent. I've been admitted to practice before the U.S. Tax Court as a non-attorney, I'm a tax instructor, and like you, I have a real interest in true crime. So we decided to create a true crime podcast to combine our love of mysteries, whodunits, and tax. We are the Tax Crime Junkies. You know, Dom, I think everyone loves a good story about a tax pro getting revenge on deadbeat clients. But I'm not sure anyone would ever take it as far as the subject in today's episode.
Of course not, Tom. No matter how badly I might want to get paid after someone has defrauded me, I would never resort to breaking the law to try and get the money back. I mean, doesn't mean it feels good, but I just try to let it go and focus on surrounding myself with good, decent clients.
Well, as our intro alluded to, that is not what happened with today's case. In the winter's dusk of February 7, 2016, Nevada's tranquility was shattered by a peculiar spectacle. Amidst the flickering neon lights of Las Vegas, King Isaac Gumorin, a 22-year-old, had taken it upon himself to imitate an FBI agent and act tantamount to impersonating a federal officer. But Gumorin, dressed in a deceptive ensemble of authority, brazenly patrolled Giles Street in his black Hummer. He had red and blue flashing lights, of course, to make it believable. An innocent evening drive was abruptly disrupted when Gumorin pulled his vehicle up against the silver sedan of victim A, a local resident, and his young nephew. Gumorin's sudden and unjustified action sent shockwaves of fear rippling through the victims. With the blinding beacon from a high-powered flashlight glare and a fabricated search declaration, he put them in a state of terror and uncertainty. Not expecting to see his actual client in the car, Gumorin sped away, ditching his plans to collect his tax prep fees. The incident had an especially profound impact on victim A's young nephew, whose innocent mind was left trembling and bewildered by this encounter. Overwhelmed by fear, victim A wasted no time in making an urgent call to the police the moment Gumorin departed from the scene, desperate for safety.
That's right, but A didn't realize the driver of the vehicle was the guy who did his taxes, King Isaac Gumorin. Without more to go on, there just wasn't much for law enforcement that they could do, and so that puffed up King. Driven by this emboldened audacity, Gumorin continued his masquerade, turning his false authority towards victims B and C's residence. They owed him. They cried poor when coming in to get their taxes done, but once they received their refunds, the money was long gone, and Gumorin was out the labor and filing fees. In an ironic twist of fate, victim B had entrusted Gumorin with his tax affairs, a move he would come to regret as Umorin's greed led him to claim an even larger share of the tax refund. Go get B. He's going to be arrested for failing to pay his taxes, barked Gumorin to B's wife, C. Umorin's intrusion did not stop at their doorstep. The terror spread among the neighborhood as Gumorin, flashing his counterfeit FBI badge and firearm, interrogated more neighbors. Victims D, E, F, and G, creating a tumultuous atmosphere of intimidation and dread as Gumorin tried to recoup what he felt he was owed. Tax prep, and now pain in the neck fees, with interest.
And as this unsettling night unfurled, Gumorin left an indelible imprint of fear on the victims, pushing them to a breaking point. The turning point arrived when victim B, threatened with an arrest by Gumorin, discovered the fraudulent nature of his claims by cross-verifying the alleged arrest warrant with the FBI. The FBI quickly launched an investigation into this affair, unveiling Umorin's charade. Through photographic lineups, victims D and G positively identified Gumorin, setting the stage for his impending downfall. "I think that guy did our taxes," they commented. But Warren, on that fateful night, had committed an act of brazen impersonation, sparked a nerve-wracking series of events in an otherwise peaceful neighborhood. But the fear he instilled led to his unmasking, revealing a cautionary tale of how deception can lead to one's downfall.
But from our research, Tom, it doesn't appear that King Umorin, who was an immigrant from Nigeria, doesn't always seem that he had ill intentions. He started the tax business in 2012 in Las Vegas. He called it Universal Tax Services. In May of 2016, just days after his arrest, Umorin's demeanor seemed to shift dramatically. King Isaac Umorin, an entrepreneur who built UTS from scratch over the course of 4 years, found himself in a tight spot. UTS, while an average quick refund company, had grown substantially under his leadership. Yet, with desperation seeking into his decision-making, he sought potential buyers, fully aware that its intrinsic value was possibly inflated. He was eager to sell, and Umorin approached prospective buyer number one with a sales pitch valuing UTS at roughly $5.5 million. This potential buyer, astute and vigilant, embarked on a meticulous due diligence process, examining the business's alleged assets and operations, but they initially declined the proposal. However, after some negotiation, they settled on a deal. UTS would be sold for a total of $6.7 million with a non-negotiable immediate payment of $4,050,000 right at the close of escrow. And this transaction came to fruition. And so by November 2nd of 2017, King Umorin had received the initially promised sum, although reduced by broker and escrow fees.
But hold on there, Dom. Beneath this seemingly straightforward business deal lay a web of deceit. It emerged that Umorin had woven an elaborate scheme to defraud both the prospective buyer and the actual buyer. The core of the deception was a series of fraudulent bank statements designed to exaggerate UTS's financial health. So, for example, one statement from a Bank of America account ending in 9722 declared a balance of almost $3.4 million. The actual balance, drumroll, $88. This pattern of deception was repeated with another statement for a second account. That statement claimed almost $2.7 million when in reality it was zero, zilch, nada. Nothing was in the account.
So we've been in this business a long time, Tom.
Yes.
And when we look at sales of accounting practices or tax accounting practices, generally you arrive at a sales price that is some sort of factor on revenues. So we see this ranges usually from 0.85 of annual revenues to 1.3 times annual revenues if it's a really attractive business, for example. So if he's kind of faking that he has these balances in the bank, I'm assuming that he was overstating his revenues, like saying, hey, this business is worth $6.7 million, but I'm assuming he really received a lot less than this.
Right, exactly.
And so this is interesting because I've both purchased and sold multiple businesses, and you always perform due diligence to tie out all the claims of the seller. So I would think that that's even more true if you agree to pay somebody $6.7 million.
And the buyers in this case did that, Dom, but Umorin falsified bank statements. To further bolster his fraudulent claims, he also provided fictitious fee deposit reports. These reports painted a picture of UTS receiving staggering deposits from a company named IRS Refund Advantage, a amounts totaling almost $5 million in 2016 and almost $5.8 million in 2017. But the truth was actually far from those numbers. Refund Advantage had only transferred about $300,000 and about $170,000 during those 2 years.
So I'd say that's a far cry from $5 and $6 million. It sounds like he must have also been falsifying the Refund Advantage reports as well. That is a ton of work.
It was, and he was trying to tie them out to the bank statements. So it was thousands of transactions that were potentially falsified.
Jeez. What they say about criminals sometimes is if he only channeled those efforts into something legitimate.
Exactly.
And O'Moran's deception didn't end there with thousands of transactions. He presented a purported database, which he claimed consisted of around 12,700 clients of the tax business. And in reality, he really only had 700 to 800 individuals that were genuine clients. Many of the details that were in this database had been pilfered from unrelated businesses, and it was compromising their client names, their social security numbers, and also sensitive tax-related information. So he really went all out in falsifying this thing. He was trying to lure the buyer, and so he also displayed fake personal income tax returns for himself from years 2014 and 2015, and these returns boasted significant income from the UTS tax business and showed UTS paying large sums to independent contractors for tax preparation services. I guess that makes sense, because if you're talking about servicing 12,700 clients, you've got to have help. One person can't do all that work. So now he's also faking expenses. And in stark contrast to those claims, he hadn't filed his personal income taxes at all with the IRS. And of course, UTS hadn't made tax payments either, supporting those types of numbers. So as part of his overarching scheme, O'Moran supplied false financial documents to inflate UTS's perceived value artificially. And the criminality extended to aggravated identity theft, because, you know, here now he's procured social security numbers. He had unauthorized possession and use of people's identities. He was exploiting names and social security numbers. So each of the 12,000 names on his so-called client list were all considered chargeable offenses. And of course, there are the wire fraud charges, Tom.
Naturally, King O'Moran received a wire transfer of the proceeds from selling the business, as well as transferring out the money from his bank accounts to spend it. So these all add up to wire fraud. Now, Universal Tax Services, despite its shady dealings in its later life, had once been a legitimate tax business. He launched UTS in 2012, and by 2015, its presence spanned 8 offices across 3 states.
Wow.
But the enterprise's integrity eroded over time, leading to criminal investigations that unearthed harm to 8 victims by O'Moran between 2016 and 2022.
Yes. So this is what happens when, number one, you're on bond for impersonating an FBI agent related to your tax business. They start investigating said tax business. And number two, it was bound to be discovered, wouldn't it? Because once tax season arrives and the new owners go to service their clients and 12,000 taxpayers fail to show up.
And that's exactly what happened. The new owners of UTS were not prepared for heartbreak, disappointment, and dashed dreams. There were 3 partners in the business purchase, 2 money guys and someone with boots on the ground to run and manage the business. They had a team of eager preparers, hired and trained in anticipation of a flood of repeat customers promised by Umorin. They even embarked on trips to Florida, where he claimed to have other successful locations serving countless clients. Excitement was in the air as Jim, one of the investors, went all out and threw a big kickoff party to get everyone hyped up for the upcoming tax season. But then things took a turn. As tax season kicked off, instead of an office filled to the brim with clients, there was nothing but empty chairs and people with a lot of time on their hands. Day after day, after hour passed, no customers in sight. King tried to keep morale high by assuring everybody, oh, it's just a slow start. Sometimes that happens. Desperate measures were taken as they visited low-rent apartment complexes to knock on people's doors trying to offer them tax services. Yet still, no one took them up on their offer.
And of course, the taxpayers never showed up because it was all a lie. I can't believe you said he was actually there, Tom, because what did he think was going to happen? He took $4 million and then showed up for tax season knowing that people would not come in.
He had to know the thing was going to fall apart before his eyes. He had to know that.
That is just bold, I have to say. And of course, those days turned into weeks with no signs of any clients coming through the doors. Preparers who had been promised good money found themselves scrambling for other jobs just to make ends meet. You see, their income was tied directly to the returns they prepared, and so no returns meant no earnings. Meanwhile, King continued living his lavish lifestyle without batting an eye. He's got $4 million, so he's driving a fancy Maserati every day. He's keeping this deceitful secret locked away and protected. And the truth was never revealed that he concocted this entire scheme and no one would show up. And he continued to collect $30,000 each month from boots on the ground to run the business.
It wasn't until Corbett, who was the guy with the boots on the ground, stepped in and meticulously uncovered the fraud, and then everything came crashing down.
And he was worried about the staff. You know, to Spring Say, one of the preparers who desperately needed the money from a second job to fight a custody battle for her child, or to someone named Simon Davis, who longed for an American education but lacked the funds to make it happen. Then there was Ernesto, who supported his mom and siblings financially, and his Russian-speaking friend, Arman Melik, exhausted from working night shifts for Uber, yearning for a more stable schedule to spend time with his family. He felt bad for these over 30 tax preparers whose excitement and hopes were crushed when the truth came out. There was no business, no returning customers, and ultimately no return on their investment of time and training. They were left holding the bag while King's deceitful empire crumbled around them. The breadth of Umorin's fraudulent activities had vast legal consequences, and he soon faced 18 charges related to the fraudulent business sale.
Now, Dom, something tells me that this is not the end of the story, right?
You know that by now, Tom. It never is. So Corbett, he's the managing partner of this new catastrophe. He keeps digging. He wants to uncover what in the name of Zeus's butthole was going on with his business? Did his CPA due diligent eyes deceive him?
Well, it wasn't his eyes. It was a guy named King selling him a tax castle built upon lies. But keep in mind, the government was also looking into his tax business as they were investigating the FBI impersonation charges. So the IRS ultimately got involved. And of course, those 700 to 800 returns that he actually prepared got audited.
And let me guess what they found, Tom. Tax fraud?
I am shocked. Aren't you? The IRS interviewed clients and employees of UTS. The preparers stated in interviews that as a matter of practice, they were required to add on additional items, primarily, again, not a surprise to anybody in the tax field, Schedule C businesses that were not legitimate, unreimbursed employee expenses that were not legitimate, all with the goal of maximizing refunds for the clients. The employees also stated that the clients were required to pay a tax prep fee up front, ranging from $250 to $500. If they couldn't pay when they came to receive their refund check, they were required to go with an employee to cash the refund check to obtain the upfront tax prep fee. In addition, there were additional items that were taken from the refund through Refund Advantage and Refundo that the clients were not made aware of.
There it is. So I guess the times the employees didn't go to the bank with the clients, King would just masquerade as an FBI agent and go threaten to arrest them if they didn't pay.
It seems like it. It's unimaginable to me to accompany a client to the bank to force them to hand over the fee to me. That's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, that's one way to do it. If you ask me, it seems way easier just to get paid up front.
And $500 is not enough. And that's, I have to say that.
Got to charge more than $500 for sure. And it's certainly not worth it if you're going to break the law for $500. Come on.
Exactly.
So one associate, her name is Arlette Alexia Moreno. She became entwined in Umorin's illicit activities. Arlette was born in Mexico and living in the U.S. under DACA. And she was introduced to the world of fraudulent tax preparation by Umorin. So despite her active participation in the deception, Moreno's defense claims that she was influenced and ensnared by Umorin. And I don't know that I disagree. Arlette was young, she was impressionable, and she was lured into a relationship with him. Now she faces the court, with her involvement in the UTS fraud being her first brush with the criminal justice system. So she had prepared numerous false tax returns and played a role in Umorin's scheme to overvalue UTS for a potential sale. You think King offered her a piece of the pie for helping to cheat?
I think he kept the whole pie and ate it himself. It didn't sound like it from her sentencing hearing. As you might imagine, as soon as the grand jury dropped an indictment, the court revoked King's bail. Technically, he committed all the business sale fraud while out on bond.
And you cannot do that. You cannot commit crimes while you're out on bail awaiting trial. But he had a pretty long run, right?
Right. They didn't pick him up again until May of 2019. So he was out for almost 3 years, get this, on his own recognizance.
That's unbelievable. For impersonating an FBI agent and attempting to arrest people, that sounds really violent and dangerous.
Well, it's shocking to me. Tales of personal strife also began to emerge. Umorin's familial situation became public knowledge, revealing domestic issues and custody battles over his children, which had been marred by controversy. The safety of his children came into question after his wife divorced him while in jail and remarried a pedophile.
Oof.
His children's custody was granted to his ex-wife due to his detention status.
And the rumor was that the stepfather had been inappropriate with one or more of King's children. And that's unfortunate. But as we've learned covering these cases, the list of victims often includes the perpetrator's families, as well as those that are directly affected.
Umorin used that as an excuse to try to get out of jail while he awaited trial. He also used COVID, his parents' failing health, but nothing persuaded the judge to take another chance on him.
Well, that's good. He had ties to Nigeria. That was certainly a motive to flee given the charges he was facing. And he did seem to be violent. He also had some domestic violence charges in his past as well, right?
Yeah, this guy is a real winner, Dominique.
So let's get back to the tax fraud. As you mentioned, Tom, the goal of UTS was to maximize refunds for their clients. But unfortunately, for those of us who do not break the law, they were doing it illegally. So the investigators noticed a pattern of returns that were being filed by UTS. The items that repeatedly were used were Schedule C businesses. So for those non-tax people listening today, that's just a sole proprietorship business, just gets filed with the individual tax returns. And those items would either have a Schedule C profit or a Schedule C loss, depending on the type of taxpayer. So let's say you have a taxpayer that had W-2 wages that excluded them otherwise from receiving the earned income credit. They predominantly had Schedule C losses that reduced the amount of their wage income that was ultimately taxed, and that would result in higher refunds. In the case where they didn't have enough income, let's say they had little to no income, they would create these fake profits from this sole proprietorship, and they were primarily at a level that would maximize the earned income tax credit, resulting again in large refunds, even when no tax was paid or taken out from any source, you know, through your paycheck, for example. And additionally, the third false item that they saw related to unreimbursed employee business expenses. And this was pre-TCJA, so we still had those as an itemized deduction. As a percentage, they tended to be a really large percentage of the W-2 wages, so it was an easy pattern for the IRS to identify.
Yeah, so creating false deductions on a tax return to reduce taxable income, which can cut your tax bill, which can also sometimes give you more refundable credits, those all generate large refunds. And these are mostly for lower income taxpayers. And I have to tell you, Dominique, having worked at a tax controversy law firm for many years, I actually worked on a lot of cases of preparer fraud. And it's the same formula you see time in and time out. The fraudsters inflate deductions, create fake Schedule Cs on the returns. It's why it's so important to review your return. And if something doesn't look right, question it.
Right. And that's because the taxpayer's ultimately left holding the bag. So while it's nice that UTS were generating these refunds, it's the taxpayers that are in trouble for that because they are signing that everything in those tax returns is accurate. And I think that's one of the things that's truly broken with our tax system because it's so overly complicated. People have to hire a professional. They don't fully understand what's being reported. And then people like this come along and really abuse the system. And to think that the IRS doesn't notice these types of things is foolish. About 83% of the tax returns included either a Schedule C or unreimbursed employee business expenses, which is just not common for that large of a percentage to appear from a typical tax preparation firm, right? That's highly unusual, very, very high.
And the IRS also noticed, in a twist, that Omori had embarked on a fraudulent scheme that would see him charge his clients hidden fees under the guise of the IRS Refund Advantage Program. With a crafty electronic agreement designed to deceive, he strategically positioned himself to skim money right off the top. Unbeknownst to over 200 of his clients, Omori amassed a staggering $134,405 from this scheme in just one tax year.
Wow. He definitely has a disregard for the law. And when you combine that with a violent history, that makes him a clear and present danger to the community. His propensity for deceit, his ability to manipulate, and his willingness to intimidate and threaten left the courts with no choice but to detain him. The glamour of Las Vegas had been marred by King Umorin's actions, casting a dark shadow over the city's reputation. Yet this tale does serve as a powerful reminder that even in the city of fortune, deceit can unravel and justice can prevail. Umorin's story stands as a testament to the dangers of unchecked ambition and the lengths some people will go to maintain a facade of success. The glitz of Las Vegas may attract many, but for King Umorin, it became the stage of his downfall.
And that's all we have time for today, folks. Stay tuned for the next gripping episode where we'll bring you more stories of tax and financial crimes and how to avoid even the appearance of impropriety.
Thank you for listening. We're super grateful you decided to join us today, and we hope you consider subscribing to the show and even sharing it with some friends who could use a tax crime junkie podcast in their life. Help us spread the word and come back for more.
We hope you'll join us again next week as we continue our mission to find the loopholes that let Leffen and close them for good. Until next time, remember that every crime has a trail that leads to the truth.